Hey guys, welcome back to another Mean Green Comic Machine episode. Forgive me for not having an episode last week. You know, things happen, life happens. We can't, not everything could be perfect. But enough excuses, enough about that. Spider-Man is back. At least that's what everybody's saying. I'm not saying that. He's not really back. He was given permit, his dad, Sony Pictures, gave him permission to come play in the sandbox. They still get to say, no, don't do that, Spider-Man. Don't do that. So I wouldn't say he's back. I would say he's more like he's visiting. He's able to come play. If the parents, Sony, like what they see that that Marvel will be doing. What does that sentence say? If Sony likes what Marvel is doing with Spider-Man, because they still have creative control. So Marvel really doesn't have full control of Spider-Man yet, which that would be more exciting. I mean, it's cool that Spider-Man gets to come play, but I would still like to see what Marvel themselves could do with Spider-Man. Will they bring in the Andrew Garfield character? Will they bring in Miles Morales? Because Miles Morales has been a big part of the universe now. After Secret Wars, Miles Morales is going to come in the same world. Is going to be part of the same world as Peter Parker. Who knows? Lots of theories going around as to what's going to happen. He won't be in Age of Ultron. He might be too late for Civil War. Maybe they'll have a post-credit scene. Who knows? But I guess we'll have to wait and see what Marvel and Sony agree on. So, yeah, everybody's saying he's back, but like I said, I wouldn't say he's back. He's just more visiting. He's able to come out and play for a little bit. Anyways, let's get on to this episode. On this episode, if you remember, if you think back to the first, if you've been with me since the beginning, you go back to listen to the first episode of the MGCM that we ever did. We did Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, the saga of Swamp Thing, book one. You remember we did that, we talked about that. Well, on this episode, we're going to go back to Swamp Thing. Not Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, but Scott Snyder's New 52 Swamp Thing. Raisin Bones, Volume 1. And we're going to do that. We're going to touch on that book. We're going to revisit Alan Moore, see if there's a little bit of a difference or not. See what's going on, what's different between these two worlds that Swamp Thing was in, Alan Moore's and Scott Snyder's, the New 52. We're also gonna review the new DC animated series, Justice League, Throne of Atlantis. So guys, put on your seatbelts, because this is going to be an exciting ride. Swamp Thing Reborn. Dr. Alec Holland used to be dead. A lab accident killed this brilliant botanist and biochemist, but he was resurrected as a shambling supernatural creature called Swamp Thing, or so everyone thought. The immortal spirits who guide the green, the vibrant force uniting all plant life, used Holland's humanity as a seed for Swamp Thing, their greatest protector. The real man himself remained dead in the ground until 6 weeks ago, when Holland awoke alive but cursed with the memories of the monster made in his image. Now Holland wants to put his past, the Swamp Thing's past, behind him, But the green is not through with him yet. Its hour of darkness is upon it, as a new force threatens to rot away all life on Earth. The green needs Dr. Alec Holland to become Swamp Thing again, for real this time. But this Swamp Thing will be no protector. This Swamp Thing will be a conqueror. The Swamp Thing, Scott Snyder, Volume 1, Raise Them Bones. So if you were listening to what I just said, let me go back and read that again. Dr. Alec Holland used to be dead. A lab accident killed this brilliant botanist, blah, blah, blah. He resurrected as a supernatural creature called Swamp Thing. Or so everyone thought. I was one of those that thought that. When I saw at the beginning, spoilers. I won't try to spoil too much just because you guys should read this book. But at the beginning of this book, we see Dr. Alec Holland. The first person we see is Dr. Alec Holland. He's human. He's in human form. He's himself. He's Dr. Alec Holland. So I was like, oh man, like I didn't know anything about this story. So I was like, does he have the power to turn into Swamp Thing and go back to human form? Or is he gonna turn into the Swamp Thing later? So I had questions right away, and I didn't read the back of the book, so I had no idea what the story was about. So I was surprised right away to see that Dr. Alec Holland was human. Then he started getting into the story and saying that he's haunted by these memories of when he used to be, of this monster that used to be him. But he doesn't, these memories haunt him. He remembers things. He remembers people, things that this monster did. He remembers a white-haired girl. Which that could only mean Abigail, Abigail Arcane. So we kind of learned that, you know what, the Swamp Thing monster, it was kind of just, it wasn't fully Alec Holland. It was just a part of him. So we learned that right away. That's the new thing in the New 52 that Scott Snyder did. I don't know if that was ever referenced in the older stuff. Haven't read a lot of Swamp Thing except for the book one of Alan Moore and little parts here and there when he has cameos. So I don't know if that was talked about in the older Swamp Thing stuff. Throughout the book, again, it talks about the green, the red, and the rot. If you're not familiar with the Swamp Thing stuff, the green is like pretty much life, everything that's alive and thriving and growing. The rot is everything that's dead. It's the evil in the book. The red is pretty similar to the green. I'm kind of a little bit lost on that. I know Animal Man has a connection to the red. And if you go back to when we reviewed the first volume of Animal Man, we see that his daughter has a strong connection to the red. But without getting too much into Animal Man, let's come back to the green. I guess there's the green, the red, and the rot have connections with humans, with people on Earth. And the green has a connect. Alec Holland has a connection with the green. So even till now, even though he's not Swamp Thing anymore, he still has a connection to it. It still talks to him. It still tries to come to him. And Alec Holland is like, no, I don't want none of it. I want to leave that in the past. Like I said earlier, I want to forget all this monster Swamp Thing stuff. We meet an old Swamp Thing. An old Swamp Thing appears to him, and an old Swamp Thing by the name of, well, his name is Swamp Thing, but the guy's name was A.H. Rogers, and he was part of the Royal Air Force. A.H. Rogers tells Swamp Thing that he had a connection with the green, or has a connection with the green, and I guess the green, the connection, is kind of annoying. It annoys people because they're always complaining about it, but he would say that he always heard these voices, he always heard this, he heard that, so he became a pilot to get away from the green, because the further away you are from the green, the red, or the rot, the less the connection is there. You have to be like surrounded by it so you could use the green, or so you could call upon the green or the red or the rot. So this former Swamp Thing A.H. Rogers, is that what I said? Yes. He became a pilot to to get up high, to fly, to get away from the green, so he doesn't have to hear it. Doesn't have to hear these voices, doesn't have these feelings. But he appears to Holland because he tells him, hey, look, there's an evil coming. The rot is building. It's going to be strong. And we need you to be the Swamp Thing again. But not just, like I said earlier, not just a protector. You're the chosen one. You're going to be the Swamp Thing. All of you. It's going to be all of you. Not just a part of you. All of you is going to be the Swamp Thing. And of course, Alec Holland's like, no, don't want none of it. Leave me alone. Get away. And this Swamp Thing is like telling him, like, dude, like, we really need your help. We really need you. The Parliament needs you. The Parliament are like the guardians of the green. The Parliament also contacts Alec Holland throughout the book and try to talk to him and try to convince him. But the whole time, Alec Holland's like, nope, don't want none of it. In this book, we also meet Abigail Arcane. Abby, the Swamp Thing's love from past, the past Swamp Thing, Alan Moore Swamp Thing. Abigail was Swamp Thing's love. He always loved her. He cared for her. And now we know that to Dr. Alec Holland, she was just a memory. He doesn't really know her. He just knows what she looks like. He's just a memory. She appears in the book. She's more modern looking. Her hair's short. It's still white, and she still has a black streak, but it's more modern. And we find something out. We find out that she has a connection to the rot. And it's a big connection. Let me tell you that. I don't want to spoil too much for you because I want you guys to read it. But she has a big connection to the rot. She has a younger brother. Maybe, I think I spoiled that for you, but she has a younger brother who also has a strong connection to the rot because they are kids. They are the children of Anton Arcane, who the Arcane family has a connection to the rot. I don't know if Abigail had a connection to the rot before. I'm not sure, but she does now. In the New 52, she has a connection to the rot. And let me tell you something. She is the chosen one for the rot. She is the queen of the rot, or she is the chosen one. She doesn't want to be. She wants to stay on the good side of things. So the rot is kind of after her, and she is said that she is going to be the queen. She's going to be she is the chosen one. And it's kind of like right away you kind of know that something's up with her, because the Parliament, these Guardians of the Green, tell Alec Holland, look, okay, you don't want to be the Swamp Thing, you don't want to help us, fine. We'll fight without you, because that's what we're going to do. We're the protectors. We're going to fight. We might not win, but we're going to fight without you because, you know, that's what we do. But they're like, this is one thing you have to do. They're like, fine, you don't want to be Swamp Thing, fine. But this is one thing you have to do. Stay away from Abigail Arcane. So right away, I was like, what? Like, oh my God, who is Abigail? What is she connected to? And of course, I learned what she's connected to. What's going on. And William Arcane, the younger brother, they use him. We find out that he's evil and he has a strong connection to the rot. And he does these evil things. And he is a great character in the book. I really look forward to seeing more of him in the next volumes. I'm really excited to keep reading this book, more volumes of this book. I thought it was a great book. But the artwork also that they use, the way to show the things that the rot does, was just amazing. I thought it was awesome. The things that the rot makes, the way the things they do to the humans, to make their own little army or to animals, is pretty nuts. It's pretty crazy. So, Abigail, Dr. Alec Holland, they're kind of, you know, the rot is rising. They're trying to fight it back. At some points, Alec Holland has to call upon the green. He's like, come on, you can do it. He's not fully sure how to do it, but he's like, come on, you can do it. And it kind of shows up. His eyes start to light up green, and he starts to use it a bit. He uses it a bit against William Arcane when they're fighting. And from there on out, guess what, guys? You have to read it. You have to read what's going on. I don't want to mess this up for you. This is a good book, so I really suggest you pick it up. Swamp Thing, The New 52. And you'll see, does Alec Holland turn into the Swamp Thing? Does he accept, his destiny in becoming the Guardian? Not the Guardian, but like, you know, what do they call him? The Conqueror. He's the one that's going to conquer. He's going to take out the rot. Does he accept it? Does he become the Swamp Thing again? You're going to have to find out. You're going to have to find out. So I suggest you pick up this book. This book, again, I say support your local comic book stores. It's only $15. It's a $15 book. But you might be able to find it on Amazon for a lot cheaper. But yeah, come on. Support your local shops. I really recommend this book. Check it out. If you guys have any more info for me on the Swamp Thing, things you want to talk about, let me know. Hey, I remember they did talk about this in the old stuff. Let me know. Facebook.com/TheMGCM. And this was just, we talked about a little bit about Volume 1, Raisin Bones, Swamp Thing, The New 52 by Scott Snyder.
1,000 years ago, superstition and the sword ruled. It was a time of darkness. It was a world of fear. It was the age of gargoyles. Stone by day, warriors by night. We were betrayed by the humans we had sworn to protect, frozen in stone by a magic spell for 1,000 years. Now here in Manhattan, the spell is broken, and we live again. Defenders of the night. We are gargoyles.
Hey, name that clip.
Take off your ring.
Don't be ridiculous. Boudica?
Sorry, Sinestro. I don't think you can talk your way out of this one.
Jeez!
He's still alive. If she had killed him, his ring would have flown from his hand back to the Guardians, and we'd rather not have that happen just yet.
It was Jordan's idea to come here. I was hoping you'd be gone by now.
I told you he was bright.
You played me.
I needed to get inside your head to see if you should join our club, but you're not easy to read.
We really need to talk about personal space.
It's not too late, Jordan. Boudica believes in my vision. Others will too. But I could use someone like you who has the stones to get things done. While the gnomes banish you, I offer you power. More power than you can imagine.
Blood is thicker than water. Darkness, mystery, legend. These are the whispers that echo through time regarding Atlantis. A kingdom long since forgotten to surface dwellers. It is here that a hidden empire teeters on the brink of war. When a military submarine traversing this remote domain is attacked, Cyborg plunges into the murky depths to investigate the wreckage. What he encounters is a threat powerful enough to rally together the newly formed Justice League. Meanwhile, thousands of feet above the ocean floor wanders the lone drifter, Arthur Curry, a man with strange powers who may be the last chance to bridge the ancient Atlantean world and our own. Join Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and the rest of the Justice League as they face off against Orm, otherworldly weapons, and perilous odds. It's an all-new epic chapter from the DC Universe in which mankind's only hope from the darkness rests upon the guiding light of a Aquaman.
Sonar has inbound, sir.
Coming in hot.
They look like people.
Brace for impact.
By the gods.
Every day the surface dwellers grow stronger. They have guardians with powers. I say, we break the seal on the Atlantean war plans.
Our only hope for peaceful existence with the surface dwellers is with the one who is of both worlds. My other son.
What are you?
I wish I knew, pal.
They will destroy this planet and take Atlantis with it. We must protect our people and attack!
This is genocide. Billions will die.
Find Arthur Curry. Fast.
Is Atlantis everything you dreamed of, brother?
This is your birthright, Arthur.
I'm in.
Join me, and we will bridge those worlds in peace. Kill the humans!
Attack!
I will cleanse the surface! This is war!
He needs a code name.
Well, online they're calling him Aquaman.
Hate that.
Aquaman it is.
Aquaman. Yes, let's talk a little Aquaman. Aquaman. Throne of Atlantis. Well, it's actually Justice League, but you'll see why I say Aquaman in a bit. Justice League, Throne of Atlantis, DC Universe newest original movie. I have heard, this is my first time watching the movie. It's been out, I don't know, a week or so now. Maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. I'm not sure exactly on the date it came out. Other people, friends of mine, have seen this movie already. And I got a lot of negative reviews. I got lots of negative reviews. And I only got one positive review. And so that was kind of cool to hear, that here somebody had another take on the movie and didn't just, you know, shit all over the movie. But with those negative reviews that I got from this movie, I kind of had, I guess, lower expectations. I was expecting, you know, not as good, for this movie not to be as good. Now, I have been on the past few movies, Batman Arkham, Assault on Arkham, what else do we have? The Justice League War. I thought they were cool. I thought they were okay. They were good. They weren't amazing, but they were good. An amazing DC movie that you have heard me talk about is Batman Under the Red Hood. That's an awesome movie. You gotta see that. But today, we're talking about Justice League Throne of Atlantis. We meet a character, a new character, by the name of Arthur Curry. Well, he's not a new character. He's Aquaman. We know he's Aquaman, but this is the way he's being introduced in this film in the New 52. Throne of Atlantis is a story from the New 52 that takes place. It touches the Justice League title, but it takes place mostly in the Aquaman title. We do have the Justice League. We have Cyborg, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. They all come in, one at a time. They're trying to get the Justice League started. This is still new. The Justice League is still new, so they're still trying to make this work. Cyborg at the beginning seems to be the only one that's like on board. He's the one that's here on Earth, and he's kind of just always at the Justice League headquarters. He tries to. There is an attack, as we said in this thing. A submarine gets attacked. Cyborg goes to check out what's going on. He tries to send out a beacon to a notice that, hey, I need the Justice League, but nobody seems to come. The first ones to show up are the Flash and Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern, which is funny because them two are not on the cover of this Throne of Atlantis DVD box. But The movie, the reason I said they should call it Aquaman, and I had a buddy of mine tell me this, that, you know what, when he explained it to me, he's like, it should just been called Aquaman. And I agree with him. They should have just called it Aquaman. This could have just been an Aquaman movie with you know, and the other heroes could have came in, but they didn't show up that much. We did see them fight. We saw them use some of their powers, but not too much. It was just good enough. We saw a lot more. We did see a lot more of Aquaman. Now, this movie in the beginning was slow on the start for me. It was a little bit slow. Wasn't bad, because I do enjoy, you know, listening to the origins. Now, I'm not saying that I want to see origins in every single movie, but Aquaman is somebody that I'm a little less familiar with. Everybody makes fun of him because, you know, they all know him from the goofy Super Friends cartoons, and, you know, from back in the day. So they made him seem really, like, just useless. But in this movie, Aquaman is a pretty badass. You see him, you see some of his powers, you see what he could do. He fights, and he's a pretty good, they made him seem really good. He was a pretty kick-ass character in this movie. I would like to see more of solo Aquaman in future movies. As a matter of fact, I would like to see a lot of solo animated series, movies for each of these characters. They all have great stories on their own, so, you know, why not make these solo movies? They are making a lot of Batman solo movies, which is great. Batman is my favorite character, but I would like to see a lot more of these other characters on their own, in their own solo movie. I think that would be awesome. So in the movie, we see how Aquaman came to be, how his mom, it was actually the Queen of Atlantis, and she came onto Earth, met Arthur's dad, and then later on, she knew that she couldn't live this double life, so she had to choose one or the other, so she went back to Atlantis and left Arthur in the care of his dad, but Arthur and his dad seemed to think that the mother of Arthur just took off. She just took off on them and just abandoned them. So that's the way they grew up. So Arthur grew up thinking this, that his mom just abandoned this. His dad passed away. So he's kind of a little in the dumps, kind of depressed. He loved his dad, and he was just bummed out. So we see him getting fights here and there, and he starts to realize his powers, that he's pretty strong, and his flesh seems to be impenetrable, kind of like a Superman type deal. This guy goes to stab him, and the knife just breaks into pieces, and he like flings him far away. And then the power that he has to control the sea life, we see him put that to use, which was pretty cool. The way he finds out, he discovers that he could do this. He has to fight his brother, his half brother, Orm, who we all know he's evil, and we also see Black Manta in the movie. Something that goes on is we see Orm kind of take out a lot of the Justice League, and I was like, well, I wonder if he could do that. If he could really do that, I wonder if that's what really happened in Throne of Atlantis in the books, because we know they do change up a little bit from the comic books in the movie. Jay Oliva said that, you know, they do have some changes. So I wonder if that happened in the comic books, because it seems, I feel like some of these characters could fight Orm and take him down, but in the movie, Orm seems to have a lot of power. Possibly it could be because he has the trident. He could, you know, only royalty could wield this power. So Aquaman has this power also. But if Aquaman has this power also, so that means he could possibly take out any of the Justice League members also. We do see Black Manta Aquaman get down a little bit. They fight a little bit, and then there's a really cool scene that happens between Aquaman and Black Manta. I was like, whoa, like when I saw it, I was like, whoa, that's actually pretty cool. But yeah, so overall the movie, and one thing that was kind of cool, he's not my favorite character maybe because Shaquille O'Neal ruined it for me, but we do have this Easter egg of it. Looks like we do see Steel, the character Steel, come out in this movie. You see this big black dude like pick up a hammer. He's a construction worker, and the trench, what are they called? The evil trench guys are like going to attack his buddy, and the quote unquote Steel character picks up this big old like sledgehammer and takes a swing at one of the characters and like just, you know, hits him. And then Superman comes down and takes out the rest of the characters, and Superman, like, you know, gives him the little salute and flies off. And this guy Steel was like, whoa, that's pretty awesome. So are they gonna, I wonder if they're gonna, I said I didn't read the Throne of Atlantis of story, so I don't know if that was in there. I wonder if they might, you know, bring this character to life soon in the animated series. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe that's just an idea, or it could just have been just a little Easter egg that they're not gonna do anything with. But overall, I thought this movie was pretty good. It wasn't amazing, but I thought it was good. It was worth the watch. It wasn't their best movie, but it was worth the watch. I feel like if you like everything that they're doing right now, Assault on Arkham, War, I feel like you're going to like this movie also. It's the same style, a style that actually I'm not really loving. I don't really like the whole anime look of these characters. I wish they would just Western it up a bit, back to the way they used to do it. I mean, like the older movies. I feel like the simplified look just kind of, I feel like it takes away from these characters. I'm not a big fan of the way Wonder Woman looks, her look in the movies also. I love her look from the comic books. I wish they would go to that look. But anyways, that's just picking, you know, being picky here and there. But again, it was a good movie. Give it a shot. Check it out. Once you do, head on over to facebook.com/TheMGCM. And let me know what you thought about Justice League, Throne of Atlantis. Well, guys, it looks like the end is here. The end of another episode. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Mean Green Comic Machine. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode and will join me for new episodes. Hopefully we'll have one up next week for you. I also wanted to mention that I will be on another episode, a guest on another episode, that goes by the Agents of Nerd, just like Agents of, what is it? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's Agents of Nerd, and it would be released on the thread of Podcast About Nothing, which I will share the link with you, and it will be released the same day this episode, the MGCM is releasing their episode, so you can have a double dose of nerd, of geek, whatever it is you want to call it. On the Agents of Nerd episode, we talk about movies, TV shows, comic books, along with a few other things. It's a great episode. And hopefully you guys will check it out and listen to it. And give the guys of Agents of Nerd, Pod About Nothing, a like. And check them out on the new episodes that they will be having. What is wrong with me today? I can't speak. So check that out. Also check out Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. We will be having a new episode out sometime this month. And I believe we're reviewing The Crow. I'm not sure yet, but I believe we're reviewing The Crow. I guess I should ask Sarah before I say anything, but it's too late. It's already out there. So check that out and check out all the past episodes of the MCCC. MCCC, MGCM, Nerd, Agents of Nerd. Check it all out. And don't forget to check me out on zombieradio.net, along with all the other great podcasts that are available there. That's it, guys. What else do I have to say? I don't think I have anything, but I'm pretty sure as soon as I start recording, I'm going to remember something And, you know, then it's going to be too late and I have to wait till next week. Anyways, what did you guys... Oh, question for you guys. What did you guys think about the Daredevil trailer for Netflix, the Netflix series of Daredevil? Doesn't he look great in his black suit? A little Frank Miller there, in case you didn't know that. But yeah, so what did you guys think? Don't forget to check me out on Facebook.com/TheMGCM. Join me on the Facebook.com/TheMGCM, where you will get a lot of extra little goodies along with this podcast. You will see other comic book reviews, toy reviews, hauls and stuff that I have on my YouTube channel. But yeah, so Facebook.com/TheMGCM. And guys, thank you once again. Thanks for joining me. And I'll see you guys next week on an all-new episode of